Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report as we draw nearer to Christmas and hopefully a holiday break for some of you guys as well. And of course, also closer to Indiana's next basketball game on Saturday, Notre Dame at the Crossroads Classic. Always a fun event, always a good showcase of some of the great Division I basketball teams in the state of Indiana. And, of course, Indiana itself, the opportunity to record a victory and to use the next few weeks in a couple games that exist over the next few weeks to get ready for the first of the year and, of course, the start of the Big Ten Conference. And, by the way, has the Big Ten Conference not just been crazy this year? Last night, Maryland goes down. They lose their second straight game. Just another surprise, somewhat, I guess you could say, in a growing list of surprises so far this season in the conference. You think you have things figured out just a little bit, and it doesn't necessarily work out how you think. So it's been a crazy conference, and I've got a feeling that it's going to continue to be that way when conference play picks back up again next, I guess I should say, after the first of the year, which will be here just around the corner. So no question about it that Indiana could use a victory over the weekend. And Devontae Green, will he be back? Will he be healthy? Lots of questions right now. And still lots, I think, for this Indiana team to figure out as they head into conference play at the first of the year. And, of course, for IU, a win over Notre Dame, Arkansas as well, I think helps build more momentum headed into some of the big moments ahead for this team. But again, lots of question marks. One of the question marks I don't think we have anymore at this point is Trace Jackson Davis. I think you've got to put him right at the top of the Big Ten Conference right now with the start of the season that he has had. And, of course, one of the big exciting notes to start the year has been not only him coming in and being a contributor and a starter, which I don't think that surprises anyone, but the level of play that he has stepped his game up to, and it seems to continue to ratchet it up a little bit with each game and some of the bigger challenges that exist for this Indiana team. So that has been fun to watch. And I'm really going to be curious to see when this is said and done, no matter what happens with Indiana, where they finish in the Big Ten Conference, are they an NCAA tournament team or not? All that aside, on an individual basis, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens with Trace Jackson Davis at the end of the year. Is he the Big Ten Freshman of the Year? Is he one of the better freshmen in college basketball overall this season? I think you'd have to think that he, with the NBA interest, would take a look at the NBA, would talk to an agent, would talk with NBA teams. Does he leave? Does he come back? I have no idea at this point. I'm not sure that anyone does, including Trace and his family. But it will be, I think, a big off-season storyline, no matter what he does, to follow his progress and to see what's next for Trace Jackson Davis. But again, that is a long way from now. We have lots of basketball coming up, and of course, this season as a whole still ahead of us. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at a number of things in the opening segment today. I think that obviously in college basketball, the top headline today, James Wiseman of Memphis leaving the university, will sign with an agent and is going to immediately begin preparing for the June 2020 NBA draft. Also, I mentioned Ohio State, their loss last night, a little surprising. We'll catch up on that. a buzzer beater last night in girls basketball. The Providence girls basketball team comes from behind and defeats New Albany thanks to a buzzer-beating shot. We'll mention that in our headlines. And I'll tell you about our Southern Indiana tip-off show. It aired last night, as it always does on Thursday evenings. And if you missed that, it'll be available for you later this evening as well here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's always an opportunity to get ready for the weekend ahead. And we've got some great high school basketball games. Jeffersonville and Silver Creek, we talk a lot about that game in the tip-off show. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek was one of my guests. And, of course, this week, Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. But we'll cover those topics and more in our opening segment, Zaxby's Headlines. Later in the program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, he drops by for a chat on IU basketball as a whole. We'll talk more about the game tomorrow in the Crossroads Classic with Notre Dame. We'll also talk about Fred Glass and his announcement earlier this week as IU's athletic director, and a lot more coming up in segment number two. Then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with me. Kyle was at the Forum Tip-Off Classic on Saturday at Southport. That was just an unbelievable showcase of good teams, good games, good players, lots of college coaches there. Of course, we've covered and mentioned lots about Silver Creek's big win at the Forum Tip-Off Classic, but with Kyle, we'll go through some of the individual player performances. Of course, Cooper Jacoby with 36 points. It's hard to beat that individual performance, but we'll talk about some of the performances, some of the college coaches that were there who played well, and a lot more with Kyle coming up later in the program today. That's a look at the show lineup today, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. With the hustle and bustle of the upcoming Christmas holiday, don't forget to order your Honey Baked Ham or turkey to complete your family gatherings. You can call the store at 812-941-9426 or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And last night, or yesterday, I should say, it's been just a crazy season of college basketball, and we've discussed that already. Lots of number ones. I think Kansas is now the sixth number one of this 2019-2020 college basketball season. One of the other crazy moments for me, and we didn't spend a lot of time talking about it as it happened, but one of the crazy moments for me was when Memphis finds out that there's an issue potentially with James Wiseman's eligibility. They, instead of holding him out, as you would expect any NCAA member school to do, they play him anyway, at least for one game, before eventually holding him out. And now the storyline goes as you think it would. James Wiseman has departed the university, going to sign with an agent, he said yesterday, and begin preparing for the 2020 draft. This is just another case of a crazy headline, either in college basketball or surrounding college basketball this season. There have been crazy things happen off the court, and really for the last couple of years now, just some unbelievable storylines with things happening off the court as well that, I don't know, have damaged the game, but have definitely brought some sidebar stories to college basketball. And I think James Wiseman this year has been one of those big sidebar stories. Memphis can still, I think, be a good and talented team. Lots of young talent, so even without Wiseman, by the end of the year, you got to think that they're going to be a little bit more tested and a little bit more ready for the NCAA tournament. But some people considered him, you know, maybe a Final Four team with Wiseman. I'm not sure that they're still at that caliber in college hoops right now, but I still think they can have a great season. I mentioned last night a crazy Big Ten note was obviously Maryland losing 52-48 to Seton Hall, and that game was at Seton Hall. I tell you what, you know, Seton Hall missing at least one, maybe even two of their better players last night. So you kind of think, well, it's a road game. We know how road games go and how tough they are in college basketball, but Maryland should be okay here. They're playing well. They're number seven in the country. They had lost the previous game. This is going to be a bounce back win against a solid Seton Hall team, even without a couple key players. That's not the case. Maryland loses two straight now. This one 52-48 to Seton Hall. So a little bit of a surprise last night. You try to get a read on this conference and who's going to be right there at the top. How many teams are going to be there at the top? Is it going to be a 1-2-3 horse race or a 1-2-3 elite level league as far as teams go. And I had Maryland in that top level and probably still do, but definitely shows they are not invincible, losing two straight games as they get ready to head back into conference play, obviously, with the rest of the Big Ten teams after the first of the year. Local note last night, a good Thursday night girls high school basketball game. Two teams that are trying to find their way this season. Providence hosted New Albany. We don't talk a lot about girls basketball, but I do try to highlight some of the big moments of the season. Providence trailed for most of the game and ended up winning the contest 50-49 over New Albany thanks to a buzzer beater by Providence. And the buzzer beater came from Bridget Welch yesterday, last night, in the game as she scored at the buzzer to give Providence the lead for good at 50-49. Lady Pioneers improved to 7-5 on the season. Natalie Bozing, who weeks ago was our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, she had 21 points, a game-high 21 points in the game last night. And Welch, who hit the game winner, she finished with 15 points last night as well. So a big Thursday night game, and it finished with lots of excitement thanks to Bridget Welch and her last-second shot to lift the Pioneers to victory. Also, last night, maybe you had a chance to catch our Southern Indiana tip-off show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. We had a chance to catch up with Silver Creek coach Brandon Hoffman. Full recap of the Dragons' big weekend last weekend, a win over North Harrison. That was a conference game, and of course, Saturday, they played at the Forum Tip-Off Classic against Fort Wayne Blackhawk, which has another IU target in addition to Silver Creek's Trey Kaufman. Blackhawk boasts Caleb First, who is also a junior and is also a highly recruited, highly ranked player. And we preview this weekend as well, because I just think tonight, Silver Creek and Jeffersonville will be a fantastic game. Lots of talent in that game. Will Lovings Watts, in addition to Trey Coleman and Jacob Jones and others on the Jeffersonville team, I think it's one of the more intriguing prospects to follow in the area this season. And then, of course, on Silver Creek, they've got plenty of talent that will play at the Division I level as well, headlined by Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, and even Brandon Northern, a youngster with a Division I offer from a mid-major school as well. So big one tonight, Silver Creek and Jeffersonville. Should be lots of fun. And my plea is always this. I feel good when it's New Albany Floyd or New Albany Jeff, that it's going to be a great crowd and likely has a chance to be a sellout even without a Romeo headline or even without some extra storyline surrounding the game. Silver Creek, Jeff, this game, talent-wise, with how competitive it should be and with what it means to the area, it should be packed tonight. So one of the first things I'm going to do, I can't go to the game tonight, but one of the first things I'm going to do after I see who won and who played well is find out, hey, what did the crowd look like at Johnson Arena tonight? I can't imagine if you're a basketball fan, even if you're not a true high school fan that follows this stuff closely, I can't imagine not wanting to get out and see some of this talent. And if you're an IU fan, you get the opportunity, obviously, to see Trey Kaufman and even Will Lovings Watts. It's going to be hard for me to believe as he moves through his high school career. I know Louisville has already reached out. I think Indiana has reached out as well. But it's going to be hard for me to believe that he isn't going to be heavily recruited at some point by Archie Miller, by IU, by Louisville. I think that's already maybe in progress for him. But get out tonight. Should be just a tremendous game, loaded with talent. Lots of the guys that we talk about on my show, on the tip-off show, you'll get to see up close and personal in that game tonight. So let's hope that not only is it a good game with lots of talent, let's hope that there's a great crowd, as there should be for a big game like this in Clark County High School basketball tonight. If you missed the tip-off show last night, it included Brandon Hoffman. I mentioned that. Also, New Albany coach Jim Shannon. We talked about his 400th career win at New Albany. He's got, 570 total in his career. We also talk about the Bulldogs and their upcoming weekend as they take on Seymour at the Doghouse tonight and then go to Carmel on Saturday. And also, for the first time this season, Ryan Miller, the new coach at Providence, he joined us last night, and we talked about Providence's 4-0 start on the year. I don't know that any team in the area has had more exciting finishes and that fans have been treated to more buzzer beater type finishes than what the Pioneers have had. They have had just some miraculous closes to games to win. Fortunately, that they've come out on the side of Providence so far, and his team heads into a really big weekend with a couple games, including Floyd Central tonight. Two undefeated teams will do battle. There's a connection there, obviously. Ryan Miller, a former Floyd Central assistant, he will go against his former boss and Todd Sturgeon tonight. And then tomorrow, Providence and Charlestown. That's former coach Sean Smith, who directed the Pioneers last year, now back at Charlestown as the head coach. So some interesting storylines in both of Providence's games this weekend. If you missed the show last night, it's available as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. And it also will air again at 6 o'clock tonight, heading into our high school coverage, obviously, of the Jeffersonville hosting Silver Creek game tonight. So you can catch that on the Big X on your way home from work, or maybe you're on your way to a game tonight. Don't forget to flip on the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show, made possible each Thursday and Friday by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. As we preview the big games, we got lots of coaches with us. Try to get some players on from time to time. Tucker Bivin joined us last week. We'll work to get more players on next week as well. But a fun show to get you set for the weekend. Big weekend coming up once again of high school basketball in the area. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines here in our first segment of the program with Zaxby's, the home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And you can find those at a Zaxby's location in Jeffersonville and New Albany as well. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. We're going to talk IU basketball. We'll talk Crossroads Classic, the game tomorrow versus Notre Dame. We'll talk Fred Glass, his retirement that was announced earlier this week. Other things, Trace Jackson Davis is going to be a subject. Devontae Green, his injury. And what's important for this Indiana team? Obviously, it's important to get some victories headed into the first of the year. But what are important things about the next few weeks for this Indiana team before they do head back into full-time Big Ten play after the first of the year? We'll cover all of that and more with Jared Morris coming up here on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. It's presented by CC Power Sports. We'll head to a break. We'll be back with Jared after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, always with us as we talk and break down IU basketball. And, of course, today we're getting ready for the big showdown in Indianapolis on Saturday. Notre Dame and Indiana, one of two big games featuring Division I programs from the Hoosier State. And, Jared, you've talked about this some on the Assembly Call and your radio show this week, but really the next couple weeks, the close to the month of December, it can be big for Indiana and for this team as they get ready for the new year. And, of course, with the new year comes a full slate of Big Ten Conference games. What makes, in your opinion, these next few games and these next few weeks so very important for this team as they prep for conference play the rest of the way?
Well, you know, I think the most important thing, and obviously the two games against Notre Dame and Arkansas are really important. And I think if Indiana, you know, at a minimum can get one, and if you can somehow get both of them, you know, now you've, you know, had a perfect non-conference record. You've won, you know, all four of those decent resume games. You know, you're going to feel really good about the stuff that you're going to do from an NCAA tournament perspective heading into Big Ten play, where clearly, you know, every single win that you can get there is going to be a really hard fought one. But I think even more important than that long term for this team is it's about health and building some continuity. You know, Rob Fennessy, obviously we've seen him play the last couple of games, but he still hasn't played a full allotment of minutes. You know, does this time without games, you know, where they can kind of manage his, you know, his practice reps, but hopefully steadily increase them. You know, how much does that help him just get back into the flow, you know, kind of regain his starting position and hopefully help solidify things at the top of the defense and the offense. You know, we know there's been talk of Devontae Green having an Achilles injury. You know, hopefully this time can help him get healthy and just get, you know, get those guys healthy and allow them to practice together. Because I think, you know, that's part of the thing that it's easy to forget when guys are injured, but then maybe they play a little bit in the games, is you think, okay, well, they're available. But the question is, you know, how much did they actually practice? And so, you know, with Rob and Devontae especially missing so much time in the preseason and during the season, you know, I mean, those guys are so important to what Indiana's doing. And so for them not to be able to practice a lot, and especially practice a lot together, I think that's been an issue for Indiana. So, you know, I really think over these next couple of weeks, getting guys healthy and just getting that practice time, getting reps and getting that continuity together, you know, if you can do that and win a couple of games, you really set yourself up, you know, to be able to weather what's going to be a stormy Big Ten season. You know, I mean, even, you know, the most optimistic projections for Indiana, you know, you're still probably talking about losing 8, 9, 10, you know, Big Ten games. It's going to be a tough, tough road. And so you need all your guys. You need that continuity. And so I think hopefully Indiana can use this time to build some of that.
I'm really curious what happens Saturday and moving forward with Devontae Green. He's had some ups. He's had some downs. And I think that's probably how we can classify his career so far as a Hoosier. The only difference this year is obviously the ball in his hands, the chief scoring person, the chief scoring threat for this team potentially, I think is what we all expect him to be this season. But with him back after an injury earlier in the year that kept him sidelined, he had a big game. He had a couple so-so games here recently. And then, of course, the Achilles injury or soreness, it seems like. It doesn't sound terribly serious. Let's hope that he's back very soon, if not tomorrow. But I am curious to watch individually with him what happens, because I think for Indiana to best the predictions that you just listed, maybe 8, 9 Big Ten losses or so, he's going to have some great offensive scoring outputs at times, maybe not every game for this team. And I think him getting some reps these next few weeks, him getting fine-tuned, you could say, for the Big Ten season is as probably important as anything on this team.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, two elements of this team coming into the season that we all thought were going to be essential, it was Rob Phinisee's defense, you know, up on top in the pack line, and Devontae Green being a reliable scoring threat, especially from the outside. And we just haven't seen that much this season, you know, either because of injury for the most part or just, you know, ineffectiveness. I mean, Devontae's had a few games where he has played, you know, where he hasn't, you know, lived up to that standard that he set in the Florida State game, which he may never have another game like that again this season, but that shows you the impact that he can have. And so, you know, I agree with you, because I think what Indiana is trying to do offensively, where, you know, they get the ball inside, you know, really pound the paint, get fouled, be a team that offensive rebounds, boy, it really helps when you have a guy out there that can space the floor and knock down shots. And Devontae can be that guy, and Rob can be that guy. And so, you know, you need Devontae to be out there healthy, feeling good. And, you know, look, we knew it was an issue coming into the season that Indiana didn't have a lot of guard depth. They weren't going to be able to absorb a whole lot of time missed if one of those guys got hurt. And now both of them have gotten hurt. And Al's even dealt with some injuries. So, you know, on the one hand, from a roster construction standpoint, you would have liked to have some more reliable depth to count on heading into the season. But here you are. This is a group that you entered the season with. And, you know, given all of that, I think you got to be fairly happy with the position Indiana is in. And so now hopefully they can take that and build on that with those two guys getting healthy.
I'm talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. He hosts the IU postgame show at assemblycall.com. And you can also hear it here live on the Big X after the conclusion of Don Fisher and the IU network coverage wraps up, including after Saturday's game against the Fighting Irish. Let's talk a little bit about Indiana's next opponent. Obviously, it's an in-state rival of sorts. A high major Division I opponent. They're 8-3 is their record, and I tell you, I really pay a lot more attention to KenPom than probably what I ever have. I think a lot of that is because you've mentioned it quite often when you join the program. Alex Bozich does as well, and I guess the thing that caught me off guard a little bit about Notre Dame is they have just one win against the top 100 KenPom rated team. And a lot of losses against, you know, some of the better teams, the more quality teams that they faced on their schedule. So even though they come in with a reasonable record at this point of the season, I'm really not sure what to expect or how good this Fighting Irish team really is.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not really sure either. But I think when you look at, you know, just kind of their statistical profile, they don't look, based on the teams that they've beaten and the teams that they've played, they don't really scare you. But based on the type of team that they are, I'm a little worried that they could be the type of team that could give Indiana issues because of what we just saw in the Nebraska game. Because they are a team on offense that's going to try and spread you out. You know, they can play 4 or 5 out because everybody, you know, that plays, especially of their main guys, can shoot threes. And so, you know, while Indiana overall, you know, under Archie Miller has been pretty good at defending the three-point line in terms of percentage allowed, they always give up a lot of attempts. And so, you know, you can make up for, you know, maybe a little bit of a lower percentage if you're a high-volume three-point shooting team. And that's what we saw Nebraska do. You know, they took a high amount of attempts and made a pretty good amount of them. And so I think for Indiana, you know, that's really one of the challenges that you look at for this game. Can you clean up some of the issues that led to Nebraska either getting straight line drives to the basket or open three-pointers because of how much they spread Indiana out? And so much of that is just going to depend on, you know, one-on-one, can Indiana's guys on the perimeter contain dribblers? Because it doesn't really matter what defense you play. If you're just getting beat one-on-one over and over and over again, that's just going to put too much stress on any defense. Pack line, zone, like, you know, it doesn't matter. And so I think Notre Dame profiles as the kind of team that can do that. And so on the one hand, it's worrisome because, like, well, we just saw a team come into Assembly Hall and carve up Indiana and score 90 points, you know, in regulation and overtime. But on the other hand, it's also kind of a nice challenge to see how much Indiana's improved over the past week. Now, the question is, you know, on the other end, you know, how is Notre Dame going to be able to handle guys like Trace Jackson Davis, guys like Joey Brunk, and what Indiana brings to the table offensively? So I certainly hope this is a game that, you know, Indiana doesn't just have to outscore Notre Dame, although it might be kind of entertaining to watch. But, you know, I would like to see the defense play a little bit better. But I think that's where, you know, it is easy to look at the challenges Notre Dame's going to pose for Indiana. And I think there are some real ones. And definitely, you know, this is a game that Indiana absolutely could win if they don't or could lose if they don't come out ready to play. But I think it's going to be tough also for Notre Dame on the other end, because I think there's some things that we do and some physicality that we have that's going to be really tough for them to handle too. So it's an interesting kind of contrast of styles. And, you know, I think ultimately Indiana just has the better players. You know, that's why Indiana beat Nebraska, is just because Trace Jackson Davis was the best player on the floor. And sometimes that's what you need. And so I feel good about Indiana winning. But I'm worried about what Notre Dame is going to try and do, because if they get a lot of attempts and they're making them, that's going to put a lot of stress on an Indiana team that, as we know, you know, is not a high-volume three-point shooting team.
I didn't have this in my notes, but you bring up Trace. Man, what fun he has been to watch this season. I'm not sure that anybody is terribly surprised at the success he's had, although it's great to see him do it against some of the high-major opponents thus far on IU's schedule. But the kid is just fun to watch, and it seems like every game he becomes more and more useful, more and more keyed in on what his role is for this team. And I think that as we move into Big Ten play, it's hard to see him in Indiana's victories, however many of them there are going to be from January forward. It's hard to see him not be a big part of them. And at the end of the year, I think I'm ready to say it's hard to see him not at least be in the conversation as he is right now for maybe freshman of the year and be someone that is thought of as one of the great newcomers in college basketball.
There's no question about it. I mean, he's been so much more impactful than I thought. You know, and there's so many things about him that are impressive, and he's obviously still got a long way to go. You know, I mean, he has issues on defense with his, you know, with his focus sometimes, and I think Archie has talked about this with just kind of expecting that his athleticism will allow him to make up for things, which it probably did in high school. And so, you know, he's got to get more comfortable in the defense, you know, more consistently focused. But, you know, what he's been doing offensively, what he's done on the glass, and, you know, what impresses me the most about him is just his maturity and his mentality. I mean, he did not play well in the first half against Nebraska, and that was coming off a couple of games, you know, where he was in single digits, you know, and didn't have the same impact he had been having against Wisconsin and UConn. And, you know, to have that, you know, pretty poor first half against Nebraska, and then come out in the second half in overtime and basically put Indiana on his shoulders. And it, you know, I kind of got the sense watching the game, like he just kind of got fed up and was like, we are not going out like this to Nebraska. I was like, I'm going to do whatever I can. And, you know, to see a guy with that level of athleticism and talent that can kind of dig deep like that mentally and kind of find that extra layer of focus and understand within a game where he can go and dominate and then to do it, it's really impressive, you know. And so I have extremely high hopes for him for the rest of the season. I mean, he's a guy and he's going to struggle. I mean, when you get into the Big Ten play, there's a lot of good big men. You know, there's going to be games where fouls aren't called that are called in other games. We know the topsy-turvy nature of that. And so he's going to have to adjust to all of that. But he has done nothing to suggest that he won't be ready for it, you know, won't be ready to handle some of those ups and downs. He's just he's a really impressive talent. But I think even more than that, he's just an impressive young man from a mentality and maturity perspective that I don't think you often see from freshmen.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Jared, I want to go back to Notre Dame for just one moment. You know, looking at stuff for Saturday's game, who the top players are, reading up on Coach Bray, I'm not sure that the Notre Dame program is in a great position right now. And if you go back a few seasons ago, and really a number of seasons ago, back before 2015, they had back-to-back Elite Eight runs in the NCAA tournament. They turned in some really good postseason records or just overall season records. And I can even remember, and I think Alex wrote about it in his preview of the game, I can remember Mike Bray talking about it on this very show, getting pretty boisterous about his team and the success that they had in this event coming up on Saturday and winning games in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and that they were the most, I think the words were, consistent team in the state. How things have changed from that point. Notre Dame went from being a back-to-back Elite Eight team to a team, yes, that's 8-3 right now, but it just doesn't have the same feel of success and of the same direction that they're headed as maybe it did around 2015, the year before, the year after.
Yeah, life comes at you fast, huh?
Yes.
you know, it's funny. My father-in-law is a big Notre Dame fan, and we were down at their place over Thanksgiving, a weekend after Thanksgiving. And so we were talking about college basketball and talking about Indiana and Notre Dame playing. And he, you know, he said something to the effect of, you know, yeah, I think it's time for Bray to go. And it really took me aback because I was like, wait, really? I was like, you know, you guys were just, you know, in the Elite Eight really good for a couple years. And he, you know, kind of ticked off a few issues that, you know, he had with the recruiting and not necessarily adapting his style and, you know, some different things that, you know, I guess from an outsider, I looked at and was like, you know, okay, but, you know, you're Notre Dame, and overall you've had pretty good success for being Notre Dame. But, you know, easy for me to say, right? I mean, you know, Indiana fans, we have our own set of expectations, so I really shouldn't judge anybody else's. But I think it does show how expectations have kind of gotten raised for Notre Dame, and now they've, you know, really fallen short of it. And, you know, whether there have been injury concerns or whatever the last couple of years that have hurt them and not allowed them to reach their potential, there definitely seems to be some unrest. So I think this is, you know, this is an important year for Mike Bray, and, you know, they're off to kind of an up and down start. So we'll see where it goes. But yeah, he, you know, he kind of talked some trash there when things were at their best. And it's been a decline since then for Mike Bray.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with me. Jared, I'm curious this, and I wasn't sure this week. In fact, I was on the air with Zach Osterman when the news broke that Fred Glass was going to retire as Indiana's athletic director. So obviously it's something that you bring up and you talk about. And I've mentioned it. It's come up this week, obviously, as you would expect it would on some of our shows. I know that you and Alex spent some time in podcast on the Brink talking about this subject. But some people I find, based on questions, based on running into people, they're really interested in who the next athletic director is going to be. They're really interested in talking about Fred Glass and ultimately how he will be remembered in his time as IU athletic director, which is kind of an interesting topic all on its own. And then others seem to say, hey, let's just talk about the game this weekend, or let's talk about the football team heading to the bowl game, or let's talk some high school hoops with everything going on right now in the season. I find that some fans, maybe the more serious fans, are really into the athletic director deal, and others are just, they want to focus on the next game.
Yeah, and I think that's fair because I think, obviously, as you know, fans, run a wide range from casual to really intense. And I think if you're a little bit more of a casual fan, I would think that storyline wouldn't be that important because you just want to kind of watch the games, check out the wins and losses, maybe even look at some recruiting, but you might not want to get too, much deeper than that. I think, once you start looking at the impact of an athletic director, there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you're not going to see in a game that go into how good that person is doing at their job. And so it makes it a little bit of a deeper type of conversation to have and just not quite as simple as just looking at the games. So I think that's what you get into here. And I think the conversation around Fred has been really interesting because I think it's fairly easy and uncontroversial to say that he was a good athletic director for Indiana and did a lot of good things. And then I think, you start to get into a bit of a debate beyond that. If you were going to grade him, if you want to give him a letter grade of A, the people who would counter that would say, well, for all those good things that he did, this is Indiana. And the single most important job for the athletic director at Indiana is to make sure the basketball program is in a good state. And it feels like the trajectory is still positive, but we've also missed 3 straight NCAA tournaments, So what kind of position are we in? And we won't know that. We won't really be able to judge his hire of Archie Miller until a few years down the road. But again, then other people counter that with, yeah, but look at football having one of their best seasons ever. And look at everything that's gone on with, with soccer and with the women's basketball program and baseball and the facilities. And, it becomes a very, kind of deep and more complicated question. So I understand why some people wouldn't be that interested in it, but it makes a big impact overall on an athletic department because an athletic director is, setting a tone. Look at the tone that Fred Glass has set with the Indiana athletic department for being student athlete first, being really focused on compliance, but, being focused on some of those things that has a trickle down effect on all of your programs. So I think, will all of those things still be part of the ethos that a new athletic director will bring in? What will change? It's all going to be really important stuff to watch because it's going to help chart the course for where the athletic department goes. And Fred's done a good job. Now, hopefully, whoever comes in next, builds on what he has done and takes it to the next level.
Jared, any preference of a candidate? I know it's very early at this point, but any preference on a candidate, any thoughts on qualities or things that should be continued or maybe something new you would like to see be brought to the table with the next athletic director at Indiana University?
Well, I think the 3 names that you tend to hear the most are Scott Dolson, who's currently part of the athletic administration, and then also Pat Kraft, who played for the football team and is now at Temple, and also Chris Reynolds, who all Indiana fans are going to be familiar with. I don't know enough about any of them. They all seem to have, fine credentials, and I'd be perfectly happy with any of them. I'll leave that decision to people who know more about it than I do. I would say, to me, one thing that I would really like to see continue is the emphasis on student athlete welfare, the emphasis that they've put on the physical and mental and emotional well-being and providing resources for athletes to put that first, because these are 18 to 21, 22 year olds that are going through a lot of changes just in their lives and in their body and brain chemistries, and so I think having those resources there for players as they deal with the stresses and pressures of being athletes and being students and being away from home, I think Fred's leadership in that area is going to age very, very well, and I have to think those are such great selling points for parents when you're in the recruiting process. And so I really hope that Indiana continues that because they've been a leader there. And I think it's something from a societal and a cultural standpoint that I think will continue to be more and more important. And then, I think the next thing, kind of the next step is maybe, and I don't know the best way to describe this, but maybe going to the next level of ruthlessness when it comes to results. I think Fred has shown a lot of patience with coaches, and I think on one hand that is good, and there is a certain amount of patience that needs to be shown. But on the other hand, when you start looking around at the teams that win consistently at the highest levels, there's an impatience for mediocrity that you have to have. And so you know, as Indiana looks to get to that next level, that is a balance they're going to have to strike. And I can't tell you exactly where it is. You know, that's why athletic directors get paid a lot of money to make those decisions. But that's probably the next step, is to, you know, start to have a little bit more of that impatience and make sure that the results are what we want them to be. And if we want to be elite, then you're going to have a little bit more impatience than if you're just kind of trying to get back to being good, which is, you know, where it feels like the, for example, the basketball program is right now.
Jared,
so that's what I would say.
Go ahead. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, as always, great stuff from you. Merry Christmas, and thanks as always for giving us a few minutes out of your Friday to join us and share some IU discussion, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you too, everybody at the station, everybody listening.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Kyle spent his Saturday last week at the Forum Tip-Off Classic. He got to see local team Silver Creek with a thrilling victory. In fact, one of the best games, probably the best game of the day, and also a long list of prospects, some committed, some signed, others just targets of IU. We'll talk about that and more coming up in our final segment after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to wrap the week up with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, who is with us Fridays. We talk basketball, recruiting, high school stuff, and a lot more when Kyle is with us each week on the program. And Kyle, you had the opportunity, as I wish I did last Saturday, to spend some time at the Forum Tip-Off shootout, a big one-day affair, bringing in some of the best teams and players from across the state of Indiana. We've had a chance this week to talk a lot about Silver Creek, and of course they've got another big game tonight as they travel to Jeffersonville for a Clark County rivalry featuring lots of Division I talent tonight. But last weekend, in addition to Silver Creek, some big performances, some big games, lots of college coaches there throughout the day, including IU coach Archie Miller, and just a big stage for our game in our state.
Yeah, I was there for all six from start to finish, and it was a lot of fun. I got a chance to see a lot of players that you might not see otherwise, and definitely Silver Creek was one of those I hadn't seen yet this season, and was glad I got to. That was really the game of the day, I thought, it was their win over Blackhawk Christian. And, you know, obviously we saw what Cooper Jacoby did in that game. Was incredible at 36 points and 26 in the first half, and it was just really, really dominant in that game. And then I thought Trey Kaufman and Caleb First, I thought Caleb First, you know, he came out of the chutes and was really exceptional, especially in that first quarter, but really throughout the game. And then I thought Kaufman, as the game went along, kind of asserted himself as well. But yeah, just a really good day. And unfortunate, we had a couple of injuries that took away from it slightly, with, you know, Trey Galloway's wrist injury cropped back up again. He'll be out about 3 weeks, they're thinking. And then Jalen Washington from Gary Westside had a knee injury. He's already had surgery on the ACL on his right knee. Talked to him a little bit after he was there, actually, and supporting his team, but wasn't able to play, and he'll be out for the entire season. So he's now had a string of bad luck for 2 years in a row. Had a clavicle shoulder injury last year. He was only able to play in six to eight games as a freshman, and played well when he did play, but that's pretty much the extent of his high school career at this point, because he's out the entirety of this year, and looking forward to getting back out there, you know, hopefully this summer when he's fully recovered. But unfortunately not to see him. I enjoy talking to him and really enjoy watching him play, but you know, he's going to have to sit out this season, unfortunately for Gary West, and really, you know, fans who would like, I'm sure, love to see him play.
Talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, that was one of my topics or questions for you, was what is the latest on Trey Galloway. We've been so buried with the college season and all the IU games coming fast and furious that I haven't had time to talk as much recruiting, but he's missing some games. He's out, and it sounds like you expecting to be out for a few more weeks.
Yeah, that was the word. I didn't get a chance to talk to Trey because that was the last game of the night, and I had to file something relatively quickly right as the games were wrapping up there. But from what I had heard, going into it, it was about 3 weeks. So I'd expect Matt, he'll probably be out 2 more weeks, is what they're guessing, and hopefully he comes back faster. He had kind of a similar injury last year that kept him out for a little while, and kind of hindered his shooting when he did come back a little bit. So hopefully he can get back out there. And we did see Anthony Leal played in that game for Bloomington South, the Indiana recruit. And then he kind of got in foul trouble, so he had to sit out a pretty good chunk of that game. So sort of that was kind of the game I think a lot of people were looking forward to it and didn't quite have the punch it did because Galloway was out and Leal had to sit for a pretty good chunk of that game. But regardless, it was a really fun event, and definitely something that people have come to enjoy here the last several years of just coming and going and being there to catch all that action and a lot of times there's names that pop up. I think Jacoby was probably one of them who's like maybe not on the top billing of guys you came to see, but went out and absolutely had a great day. Pete Suter was kind of the same way from Carmel, the sophomore. Had a really good day against Evansville Wrights and Christian Lander, and I think people enjoyed how hard he plays and gets after it. And I thought Pierce Thomas from Brownsburg early in the day was really, really good. And I was impressed with Blake Sisley as well from Heritage Hills, who I thought I can't remember what I think he had 19 points in that game, but really, really played well. I think he'll be, he's getting a lot of mid-major offers, and wouldn't be surprised to see some high majors go in on him. He's got a lot of ability as well.
Talking to Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, you were there for the whole deal. So tell us about Archie Miller and IU coaches who were there, maybe who they were focused on last Saturday at the Forum tip-off event.
Yeah, they were there. I can't say exactly when they got there. I know they were there for at least the second game, which would have been Brownsburg, which you have Pierce Thomas in that game, and I think he performed really well. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see not necessarily IU possibly, but some other high majors come in on him and get a Big Ten offer. He's already got Butler and a few mid major offers, but he's only a junior, so there's still time. But they were basically there the entirety. Archie Miller was there pretty much the entirety of the rest of the day. Of course, you had Christian Lander, who they are really after, obviously, in that 2021 class. And Trey Kaufman, of course, was playing in the later game as well. So they were there pretty much the entire day, at least after that first game. And I think got a pretty good viewpoint of what they're going after there. But and I'm trying to think, I don't know if there's anybody else other than Lander, Kaufman, Pierce Thomas, and of course the recruits they already have coming in who'd be in that mix. But always I think what they've done is build a pretty good relationship as they've gone along here with high school coaches in the state, and being there for that type of event I think only reinforces that. And and it's sort of based off your schedule too. I know Purdue was en route to Nebraska on that Saturday to play Sunday basically late morning or early afternoon, so sometimes that hinders what you can do and practice schedule and the like. But I think always good for in-state coaches to be able to come in and watch that sort of event.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, my guest. Want to change gears here as we wrap up the week and of course, next week head into the Christmas holiday. You had a story earlier this week, which can be found at indystar.com/sports, about, of course, it was signing day, and lots of football players, not just from across our state, but across the country, made it official, including some late surprises with different Division I programs and beyond. And you wrote about Caleb Murphy, who may or may not be a familiar name for folks listening, but he attends West Washington High School and signed with Indiana on Wednesday. And, of course, there's been some not-so-good things going on with coach and athletic director there, unexpectedly passing away after a medical incident during West Washington's last football game in the playoffs. But maybe summarize that, preview that. I thought it was another job well done.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I was trying to, you know, try to incorporate just kind of a different idea with signing day, and was trying to think of what's a good story that could be told, and reached out to Keith Nance down there at the superintendent at West Washington, and he's actually on the staff with Philip Bousman, who, like you mentioned, passed away, had a stroke at the semi-state game against Indianapolis Lutheran, passed away a couple days later. And so I went down there, and I didn't really know, you know, talked to Caleb Murphy a little bit on the phone. Absolutely great, phenomenal kid to talk to, defensive end, you know, but didn't really know the whole connection there until I got down there and talked to him more. And, you know, Philip Bousman was a huge part of his life. The coach had been there for 16 years. He's only 43 years old when he passed away. So really a sad story, but had his, you know, Philip's wife, widow was there, his family standing behind Caleb, along with many of the coaches and players from West Washington. And was really a touching, sort of emotional, probably more than any signing day, maybe anywhere on Wednesday. But just to, you know, wanted to tell that story and could kind of do it through Caleb's signing. And I appreciate you mentioning that. I hope people check it out. It's turned out, I think, to be a pretty good story about a community and a kid and a coach and his family, and kind of trying to tie all of that together there on signing day.
Kyle Dedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, great story, great chat today. Merry Christmas. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon, Matt.
Absolutely. Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays. That's going to wrap things up for this show and for this week. Have a great weekend. Of course, high school basketball tonight, tip-off show at 6, and IU basketball Saturday here on the Big X Sports Radio.